The Vision app is the best place to find a growing range of homegrown, on-demand audio to help you look to God daily. You can listen to Faith and Fostering with Christians chatting about foster care in an Australian context. Plus, be encouraged by Pastor Terry Nightingale's four-minute devotions, with new episodes added each week in the free Vision Christian Media app. If you don't already have the app on your smartphone or tablet, download it now from vision.org.au/app.
Vision.org.au/app.
Vision. Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 with Neil Johnson on Vision.
While the indiscriminate bombardments continue in Ukraine, many refugees have been simply in survival mode. The Russians have continued to unleash overwhelming firepower in an attempt to bring Ukraine to its knees. Let's get the latest, an update today from on the ground, where Christian ministries have been doing all they can to care for the Ukrainian people. Operation Mobilization, or the OM team, is on the ground in Ukraine. They've been working directly with the local community and those displaced by the current conflict. They're responding with emergency shelter in homes and church facilities, first aid and basic health care, food parcels and hygiene supplies. Wayne Check is in Ukraine. He's an Aussie and works with Operation Mobilisation. Wayne, a special welcome back to 2020.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. Great for the invitation and that we can catch up again.
Wayne, 75 days into the invasion, how are you feeling about things right now? And have you got a bit of an impression about how the locals are feeling?
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember what day we were on when we last talked. So the first 72 hours was really important for everyone. And when the shock and awe was over, Ukraine stood. And then we wanted to survive another 7 days. And now we're 75 days in. So we have been through the ringer a few times, and we've had adrenaline and anxiety and stresses, as well as determination and seeking the Lord. So we are now pretty well understanding that this event is not going to end soon. And so it's digging into the resources that we have in the Lord to go through this ongoing marathon when we don't know the end, what the end will be. But the good thing is the Lord is the sustainer and the giver of strength, and he knows where this is going. So we just need to daily cling to him.
You had planted and were pastoring a church in Kyiv. And when war broke out, you and your family had to relocate just outside of Kyiv, and you've been traveling in each day. Is that still what you're doing?
So my church is about 80 kilometers south of Kyiv. So we were in a unique place. Our situation was that when we heard that the power station was reported to being attacked, I moved my family to our in-laws' place, which is actually where I am today. Because yesterday was my birthday and we had a family day together that was pretty special. The situation now, of course, is very different. Churches, as well as our church, has taken in hundreds of people on the way through to the West. But also, when it now has become clear that the Russians are not able to take as much land as they thought, you'll find that there are many cities and towns that have now doubled or tripled in population. We call them internally displaced people. So this is the reality of how we minister. So we're looking at churches ministering to those fleeing, but also now those that have left their towns and are settling in for the long haul. Some of them will be able to go back when fighting is over. Others who have cities or where infrastructure has been severely damaged or their houses have been destroyed. So we're looking now not only at ministering to where the fighting is, which is the greatest need, but also long term, how do we strategically help the churches be the hands and feet of Jesus, and looking to what nation building will be like. The problem with that is that the war is still ongoing, and it's not clear how this will end.
Well, this past 24 hours, the 9th of May, has been the Victory Day celebration for the Russians. And there's been all sorts of anticipation that the Russians would have liked to have completed an invasion of Ukraine by this time. That hasn't happened yet. Has there been increased anxiety around the date?
Well, looking at the map, they're not going to be taking a lot more land today. And there is very little that they can actually celebrate. But you and I live in a world of open information. They don't live so much in Russia, not even close. So there won't be land taken that they can declare that is theirs. But we know that attacks happen on special dates. So everyone has been told that this is a good day not to travel. So we actually had travel plans for this day to meet with other leaders, and we're putting that off till tomorrow. And of course, everyone has their apps and their phones, and it says air raid sirens going off all over the country. So that's been built up to this particular event, that those threats have been more. More than usual, if it's even normal to say that anymore. A normal day of hearing cruise missiles fly over or jets. There's no commercial liners here, so anything in the air is military. And of course, the sirens in each location that that we're at.
Wayne, your church is being used as shelter for refugees. Are there any particular stories that come to mind from some of those who you've been offering this opportunity to shelter in your church? What sort of stories are there people are telling?
Yeah, so that's the beautiful thing, that the church all over the country, the body of Christ, is now in a, it's almost has a different face, because many people leave to go to safety themselves, and then those that are fleeing from more dangerous place comes to your place. So basically, I'd want to share three little stories, if we have time for that. The first one is of a family, a couple, and his name is Dima. He fled with his wife, and he told me the story that they fled with their dogs as well. So we now have some animals in our church, which is we're not used to, walking to the church building, hearing dogs barking. But Dima told me that their house in Chernigov, which is to the north of Kiev, which was under siege for over a month, their house was hit by a missile attack. Actually, all of the five houses around their house were destroyed, and only their house survived. And it was at that moment that they made the decision to flee. And of course, you can imagine the panic. They, along with others, when my wife was having an introductory get to know you session, which turned into a Bible study, which was great to see, Olya asked the ladies, how did you end up at our church? And these are non-church people. These people do not walk into evangelical buildings normally, or if ever. And they all almost in chorus said, God led us here. And so our church has become a place, and this is just a picture of all over the country, where we've seen miraculous escapes, we've seen amazing refuge shown by churches, and we've also seen a mixing up of the body of Christ, where our people ended up in other places, other people ended up with us, and you've got this intertwining into the fabric of society now. So another story is of a pastor in Chernigov, where we took humanitarian aid to. Basically, they'd been a pastor. 90% of his church had left when they could, or during these green corridors. Very, very dangerous time. And locals in their little micro region of 3,000 people, the Baptist church had not been a place of recognition, that it's a spiritual establishment. This is a Soviet, leftover from Soviet life. But during this time, they ended up with several dozen locals hiding in the church basement, and you can imagine the bonding that they had over a month. And now afterwards, when they've come out into the light, after the Russians had hastily retreated, we turn up a week later bringing aid to them, and they share the wonderful story of how the church has become that spiritual place of refuge, and 50 or so people turn up every day for Bible study and for interaction and for fellowship, and they also receive food, which with what we're doing helps them to continue to be play a small role in the puzzle of a vibrant community of Jesus followers looks like.
Wayne, let me ask you here, have there been losses of life of those refugees sheltering in your church? Are you counselling people who've lost loved ones?
In our particular church, we haven't had reported deaths, but amongst the body of Christ where we've been ministering and interacting, there's been loss of life, both in the local community of friends and relatives, and also of believers, including some Christian leaders that we know. So in the first instance, people would flee out of fear, and then others, when they suddenly discover that it was too dangerous to stay where they were, quite often for many of them, it was literally too late. But they miraculously survived, and so they're very different people. You can just tell the traumatized people, and when vehicles turn up into your yard and they've got bullet holes in them, you can tell that they've been through a lot.
Now, the work of Operation Mobilization, you're working under that banner. Is there enough aid getting through for you to be able to resource people who are refugees? And, of course, Australians, how do we help in that process there? What's the best thing for Aussies to do to support what you're doing, Wayne?
Well, you can support through the Ukraine crisis link at Operation Mobilization, OM in Australia, or if you're somewhere else, there are plenty of links to do that. We're thrilled at the response, which is really giving us, sorry to use a different word, the ammunition that we need to do our work now that it's entered a new phase. The good thing is that money has come in that we can acquire aid and travel. I mean, fuel is a major problem at the moment, and you know, logistics wise, that is still an issue. The thing is that if you give money today, that really does help us over these next weeks and months to do a continuing work, just like that pastor who was in Chernigov that I shared about in the basement of his church. He said that with you coming like this, it gives us the hope of consistency. And that's what you need after you can breathe, after you drink your water, after you have your food, after you have a safe place. Then you've got the world that goes beyond of how do we survive through this next phase as they recalibrate and decompress and also get counseling. But you need to also understand that I think two-thirds of Ukraine's children have been displaced. Two-thirds of the country's children are not living in their homes. And more than half of those who had jobs are now temporarily at least unemployed because they've either had to move themselves or there's no business going on or it hasn't restarted yet. It's a major, major deal. And the effects of this will become more and more apparent with each passing week. So we're looking beyond aid, but what does community development look like? How do we help these people? And how do we create jobs to keep economies going? And doing that in the simplicity of the networks that we have, that God's given us to people, you know, through people that have faithfully stayed in very dangerous places throughout the most difficult time.
Well, we're talking about the Russian invasion of Ukraine and consistency. If you hear the heartbeat of Wayne Check, as he's a pastor of a church just to the south of Kiev, and refugees sheltering in his church. The need for first aid, basic health care, food parcels, hygiene supplies, some of that aid is getting through, but it is a crisis situation. Let me point listeners to om.org.au. That's the website here in Australia for Operation Mobilisation, om.org.au. You can find out detail about how things are unfolding in other churches too around Ukraine that are a part of the Operation Mobilisation. Wayne Check, thanks so much for sharing your heart with us once again today on 2020.
Thanks, Neil. Thank you for your prayers and your support. And it is a privilege, although it's a hard privilege to say, to be chosen to be in this place at this time for this ministry. Thank you.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.